Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Hey guys, Sethi and Nimesh here with another podcast, and just a disclaimer, Nimesh here, I have my kid in the background, so apologize for the noise. But you know, we're recording this on June 3rd. We're kind of right in the middle of kind of post-COVID and like right in the thick of it in the George Floyd kind of era. And, you know, things are just really, really sensitive. And I don't want to say sensitive, but I feel like things are being taken literally right now, and everyone needs to be careful. I wanted to kind of address an issue that I'm kind of going through right now, and it hasn't yet concluded, but I wanted to kind of bring it to the table to you, Sethi, and obviously the listeners, and kind of see what you thought. So I'm in a text thread with a group of five white folks. And these folks, I actually went to the Kentucky Derby with last year. Very, very nice folks, progressive, most of them in tech. And one of them yesterday, we were kind of talking about the All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matters phrase. And right now, you know, as everyone knows, if there's a lot of sensitivity to using the term All Lives Matter versus Black Lives Matter. And I kind of interjected with my thoughts in terms of, I said, hey, like unsolicited feedback here. But right now things are very sensitive and heightened. And, you know, as a person of color, I feel like there are kind of two types of racism, right? I've experienced what I call like the embarrassment racism, where I've been called Gandhi, Red Dot, Sand N-word, Curry, you name it. And it sucks. And then there's this other type of racism, which is life or death racism, which Black folks go through, which is when a Black person goes out onto the street, like it's life or death for them sometimes. So I brought that point up to kind of make the point that because of what Black people go through, and as a person of color, I still don't know what Black people go through, but I can at least kind of, you know, at least start trying to think about it. That's a good reason for kind of taking this down. And the person who was kind of considering that, taking it down, he was very receptive. But to my disappointment, none of the four other folks, and I texted this like, you know, 5 p.m. yesterday, none of them responded to what I had said at all. And in addition, like people just actually started talking about other stuff. And, you know, it was just kind of disappointing to me where, you know, I've always believed that privilege is actually not knowing you have privilege. And, you know, in a particular text group like that, if you see one of kind of your brothers address something so, so deep, I think you at least have the duty to say, look, I hear you. I don't have to agree with you, but I hear you. And I think that right now, all Black people want to do is be heard. And I think people are not intentionally not hearing folks, but they don't know, they're not cognizant to pick the spots to identify when people want to be heard. And it's creating this frustration. So I said a lot there, but I wanted to kind of address this because it's kind of ongoing. And, you know, get your thoughts on it and just kind of other thoughts around this.
Yeah, thanks, man. And I appreciate the fact that we can also talk about this topic, which again is got a lot of attention, rightly so, but also be able to talk about it in a way where it's very now immediate with an interaction that you're currently having. And then maybe that way, as we talk about it, we can provide even some recommendations on how to address it. And what you just said actually around the whole, you know, Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter, I do feel like that's coming up pretty regularly. I know it happened in the past when, you know, some of this stuff happened with other Black folks who were, you know, unfortunately killed under police brutality. But now it seems like it's all resurrected. And You're right. There's so many different things I'd love to talk about on this, but I want to say one thing about this particular, because, you know, sometimes I even struggle with like, how do I explain this to somebody that, you know, when someone says Black Lives Matter, it's not a jab at the rest of the world or the rest of the other cultures. And, you know, I've been seeing more and more folks saying things like, well, you know, it's not Black Lives Matter, it's Black Lives Matter too, as in like also, or, you know, other kind of analogies. The one that I saw yesterday, though, last night, I think was probably one of the best ones for me. I'll just read it out. So, because it was actually from a white person who said, you know, and I get a lot, I feel like I get a lot of my information about this, not even through like the news, but through the comments and articles and the discussions, especially even on like platforms like Nextdoor, where it becomes really close because these are your neighbors. But this, I guess, white American neighbor had said, you know, when the whole Black Lives Movement started, I'll admit I was one of those people who reacted with all lives matters. But then finally someone explained it to me in a way that fixed the way I saw it. And they said, imagine sitting at a dinner table. Everyone gets served up, but you're only given a tiny bit while the rest of your family has large portions of food. You turn to your dad and say, I should get a full portion. And he responds, everyone should get a full portion. He's right, of course, but that's not the point. Everyone else has had their fair portion. Your protest isn't that you should get a full portion at the detriment of others. You're just saying that you should be brought up at the same level as everyone else. And, you know, the point is that white lives have always mattered. They don't need to be the focus right now because historically, Black lives have mattered less. And so I feel like that's what you were trying to share with those folks that you mentioned. And I just really felt like this is, you know, it kind of resonated with me because, again, that's what I think is people are struggling with, is as if it's like, oh, you know, woes is me. Here's this group of individuals who's asking for attention. And then to, you know, and it's sad because I still see a lot of people who are it's very divided. You know, there's people who are, and it's been pretty amazing to see just the number of folks who are really now stepping up to support, you know, our Black brothers and sisters, but there's still a whole other, you know, world of folks who aren't. And I think it's because they just feel like, you know, well, what about my problems? What about my issues? What about the fact that I'm, you know, lost my job because of COVID or because, you know, I'm not going to be able to put food on the table because, you know, of what has happened, or I've just lost someone in my family because of, you know, this terrible disease. Oh, and now you're telling me about what happened on the news. And I think you're spot on. Like, I feel like really what's happening is people just want to be heard. You know, Black people want to be heard, as well as other people who are, you know, and it is a little unfortunate that it's happening at the same time as COVID, which has had this huge negative impact to a lot of people out there. I think we can't forget the fact that, like, what, 40 million people in America alone are unemployed. So, you know, I think what I'll just kind of say before to kind of finish my thought is, I think it's important that we do try to remind people through whatever analogy makes sense to just help them understand, like, look, this is not about lessening you or kind of bringing you down, but it's about bringing our neighbors, our friends back up so that we're all on the same starting line. And then I think the other thing is just in particular to your response. And again, I don't know, if you sense this, but you had mentioned that kind of one person acknowledged and kind of, I think you were able to, they were able to see your point. The other four didn't. Do you think that's because they, and maybe it's, you know, silence is compliance, or do you feel like they, you know, had just, you had said your piece and that was enough? Or do you think, and they didn't think that they needed to say something, or is it more of just like you kind of left it open-ended hoping that they would say something and they didn't?
See, and that's a good question. I'm really trying to be honest with myself, and like, I'm trying hard to just kind of adopt. I was trying hard to adopt the view of, okay, look, one person acknowledged it, let's move on. But I think where the rubber hit the road for me was that one specific individual ended up after and before what I wrote, ended up like, you know, you can tap back and, you know, thumbs up the emoji or whatever, did that for every text on the chain except for mine. And I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, you know, like, it's one thing if, you know, you just look, it was a Tuesday, people have shit to do, they're busy. I get that, right? Like I'm one person out of a ton of folks, right? And the goal here is not to like ask sympathy, which it kind of looks like I maybe am, but the goal more is like, how do you, like, I'm the only person of color in that group. How do you have these conversations with folks and know that they're willing to have those conversations? And I think is when that person kind of liked all the other comments except for mine, I'm like, you know, that's, I don't know. Like, then I was like, okay, maybe it's just, you know, he forgot. And I was like, okay, maybe it's just rude. But then I was like, you know what? Like, if I don't stand up here, like how would you have to have compassion. And I think it starts with, and look, whether you call it compassion, empathy, sympathy, whatever, if someone is hurting and you're close to them, it is your duty, in my opinion. And this is like a closer kind of group in the sense where, to answer your question, like if it was like 20 people, you know, and one person acknowledged it, could every single person acknowledge it and be tough? But this is only six folks. I think you have the duty to at least say, look, I sense your pain and I want you to know that. Right? I think that's where it all starts. In personal life, in your business life, it's all about like, I sense your pain, I hear you. And that's what was disappointing to me. The second part of this story is, so the guy that did,
sorry, can I just say one, can I say one more thing? Yeah, because, absolutely. You know, because again, like, it does, you now that you kind of mentioned, especially that the person kind of went and, you know, acknowledged all these other things and ignored that one, it does feel intentional, which is disappointing. And I do feel like, again, I don't know how strong your relationships is with each of the folks, each of the five, you being the sixth. So I don't know if it's worth your time to say, hey, you know what? And maybe it's kind of this thing you have to take offline. The reason I say it, and I just wanted to pause you right there, is because I've actually started to, you know, I'm noticing this with even some of my friends where, and again, I don't want to name names, but like, you know, I have a person, friend of mine who, they own a business that, you know, is in a community that has a lot of, you know, people that are kind of lower on the social and economic scale. And so they've had some real, you know, concern over the last, especially few days with the looting and the rioting, because, you know, it's getting to the point where they were afraid that of their business maybe being, you know, attacked or things get broken or stolen, et cetera. And they even have, you know, showed me pictures of like, you know, neighboring buildings already being affected. It sounds like they have a really good kind of, you know, reputation in that area. So I think maybe some of the locals are kind of trying to help them. But the reason I bring it up is, you know, in that person's mind, you know, rightly so, she's kind of feeling like, dude, this is not what these protests should be about. They shouldn't be about this violence and this looting. They should be about kind of what the original intention was to kind of voice the frustrations. And again, rightly so, it's enough to just stand there and kind of say your piece. But if you're angry, be angry, but don't, you know, destroy my family business. On the other side, in this text chain, there's other people on who aren't in that situation. And they're, I think, expressing the view like, hey, like, it's just windows. It's just stuff. That stuff can be bought. That stuff can be fixed. It can be mended, you know, and I could see these two individuals on this thread expressing their emotions, and you could see it all starting to kind of unravel. And so I was just going to say, in that situation, I kind of just chimed in, but I think one of the things that I think was also important was like, hey, you know, sometimes you got to take this stuff off text or off these types of channels, because it's not going to help you guys heal. And I was just wondering, like, if you think it's even a good idea to kind of maybe talk to that one person offline and say, hey, you know, I just want to make sure, like, we're not even on the same page, but you can kind of hear me out. I'd love to hear you out, because it does feel like there's a difference in opinions. And, you know, I respect you. I hope you respect me. And I'd feel better if we could have that conversation.
Yeah. And so part two, so I did reach out to the guy who did acknowledge me in the morning and kind of just, you know, I actually lost sleep over this last night. I feel like I'm in a portion of my life where I don't, like, you know, you and I, obviously, as business owners, we become like so desensitized, and you know, we have multiple kids, like we're kind of, you know, pretty zen in the sense where we don't let things bother us too much. But I kind of lost sleep, and I was like, man, what's going on here? So I texted them this morning just saying, hey man, like, you know, totally appreciate you acknowledging it. I feel like I just wasn't heard because I saw what happened. These texts after me were kind of acknowledged, and it was disappointing to me because this is a very serious issue. And he literally like jumps on the phone with me and he's like, man, I am so sorry you feel that way. Like, I think this is the definition of white privilege, where we don't know when someone right in front of us is hurting because we've never gone through anything similar to that. And I think that's what's happened here. And he's like, with your permission, I'd like to address that with the group. And I was like, yeah, man, like, you know, dude, thank you so much. And number two, yeah. If I could be like a guinea pig to affect change, I'm more than happy to. So this was at like 6, 7 a.m. this morning. So he texted the group, and right afterwards, like 2 hours later, one person called me and says, and kind of was like, you know, that person, they kind of started off a little annoyed in the sense where he's like, hey man, like I'm kind of confused about what's going on here because I feel like I was supportive of you in the past, to which I explained, it's not about the past, it's about the present. And the reality is you need to have your ears open and your eyes wide open to understand when someone is experiencing something that you never maybe like you have to be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. And the fact that you weren't able to in this situation, and yes, maybe you were busy, et cetera, should be an eye opener, to which he immediately said, man, like, this is part of the re-education I need. And I'm grateful for having that conversation. Like, I'm grateful for you having this conversation too. And then that made me feel like, man, like, I affected change. Now, the remaining three folks, remaining four folks, one other guy texted me saying, hey man, let's chat later, but the other three haven't texted at all. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see this kind of playing out in real time, right? And I'm not even Black, but I feel like in this weird deep down way, it's validating what I'm already thinking about, what I already think, which is there are a lot of, and I hate to use the term white people and generalize, but there are a lot of people that don't know what's going on and may on Instagram post a Black square and or say they're going to read an anti-racist book. And even when called out on that, are not going to apologize. And I think that's privilege and that's disappointing.
Yeah. And when that individual this morning kind of addressed the group, was there something in that message that kind of elicited people to kind of reach out to you, or was that those one or two people who've done it, was that kind of on their own accord, or was it kind of like, hey guys, like, you know, this is, I think, what's going on, and I think you guys should, I'm just trying to figure out, like, why do you think two people reached out to you and the others haven't?
I don't know. And the text was definitely something like toward the end saying, hey man, like, let's iron this out, you know. And like, I'll read a couple portions of it, you know, it said like, Nimesh took a great deal of care and vulnerability to share his experience with racism as an Indian American. He trusted us with the story and pain. I'm afraid that only I reacted to his post with a virtual thumbs up, which made Nimesh feel heard, but I am afraid we all failed to make him feel heard. I should have done more when he explained his context, blah, blah, blah. And then said, let's see, the problem here is white culture doesn't think it has a culture. It thinks everything has progressed. And that comes from a long history of us not being pulled over or profiled or forced to use a different bathroom. It manifests in subtle ways, like on a text, when a dear friend says, I have experienced pain, we innocently but dangerously fail to acknowledge their pain. Mm-hmm. And then it goes on to the end saying, like, you know, Nimesh has agreed to you know, to open up this discussion, etc. I mean, that guy's so articulate though.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, I think the cool thing about this, right, is that the people out there that you know, again, may not be saying the right things or may not be even, you know, kind of participating in the protests, when you talk to them, you start to realize like they actually, you know, really do genuinely kind of want to create a community. They want to build a world where there isn't kind of one better than the other. The challenge is that, you know, unless you kind of have a conversation like you guys are having, it's hard to pull that out, right? It's like you talk to someone, they see, they do something, you know, if you are indifferent and you don't say anything, you're going to now kind of go on with the rest of your day or rest of your life kind of having this your mind made up about that person. Whereas, you know, and or if you do say something, and again, even after you say something, they still, maybe they say, oh, okay, yeah, you know, internally, like, gosh, I won't do that again. But they don't say it to the, they don't acknowledge the room. They just kind of say it internally. Again, in your mind, you might be thinking, this person still doesn't get it. And it just, it's just so great when you do see folks who are able to kind of make those changes, those kind of course corrections, and be able to, you know, prove like, I care about you. I care about this relationship. And, you know, it's not who's always going to be the most right. It's just like, this is kind of the ebbs and flows of a relationship, and I'm going to acknowledge it and try to work with you about on it. So I think that's really cool. In terms of the others, yeah, I don't know. You know, again, I mean, you kind of try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. You try to assume, like I read that recent Malcolm Gladwell book. I can't remember the exact title, but something about strangers. And you know, there's this whole idea around how society is formed and how one of the things that society needs is you default to truth. You default to trust. You just assume people are going to do the right thing, because if we didn't default to that and we assume people would do the wrong thing or had bad intentions, society would never form. We would never trust anything. We would never would trust business bartering and, you know, exchanges of this and that. Like, we would just assume everyone is bad. So you, I do think at this kind of instinctual level, we're always trying to give each other the benefit of the doubt. But I think what's happening here is there's just been this, you know, huge like tilt in terms of like who is getting the benefits and who is always being doubted. And that's creating such unnecessary, you know, and harmful backlash. Now, in terms of how do we make this right? I don't know, you know, and I don't even know if those other individuals will eventually respond to you. And it may be something where you've just kind of learned, like, this is kind of the extent of what you can get from some people, and this is the extent of what you can get with others. I don't know, and I'm curious if you are feeling like, if I don't get resolution from these other individuals, you know, I'll just kind of, you know, move on? Or is it going to be something where, unfortunately, it still kind of keeps you up at night?
Look, I think I would be lying if I said I would just move on. But I also know, as I approach, you know, my 40s, that I can't control people and I can't make them act in certain ways. What's becoming more clear is what privilege is. And privilege is a lot of things, in the sense where privilege is not having to respond to someone in a close text thread of you who's been hurt or has experienced pain even after someone else has addressed that they've been in pain. That's privilege, right? And unfortunately, what I'm realizing about these other folks that didn't respond is they have privilege, right? But it's also making me realize that sometimes the solution is as easy as telling someone, hey, I sense your pain, right? Like, it's not going to solve everything, but at the same time, it's a fantastic start, right? Because once you can tell someone, look, like, I see that you're upset, right? Like, I see that you're upset. I can feel that you're upset. The whole, like, it's a conversation opener. And I think there just needs to be more of that. So that's kind of the positive that I'm going to pull from this. And, you know, like, I hate to make this seem kind of about myself, because I'm like, again, like, I don't even know how fast this kind of transpired. Like, I thought of this you know, how I felt. I texted it, happened at 5, and like, you know, all of a sudden now, like, you know, 24 hours later, it's like kind of a big deal. But, you know, I'm glad I stood up for myself. I'm glad that I made a few folks feel uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm trying to triangulate with my closest people, like my wife, you, et cetera, about, look, did I overreact? Right? Please tell me, am I being too sensitive? Because I want to know if I am as well. But if I'm overall not, then I do have the right to bring this up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think given the circumstances and what the situation we're facing, I think what you're doing isn't even about you. I think it's about you helping them understand, like, the way you behave and the way you act is not just going to affect me, but it's going to affect a lot of people, especially right now. And if you are the type of person who wants to create harmony, your behavior is not showing that. And so I think you are... In a way educating them. The question is whether they are going to digest that education. And that's the biggest challenge, right? Because, you know, again, like, I think your intentions are pure, right? This is what happened. This is kind of how, where you're coming from. I think the fact that you kind of are able to, you know, personalize it, but also expand how it really affects, you know, the Black Lives movement right now, I think is helpful. Because again, like I said, like, I think there's a lot of people out there who I think want to help, but they still just haven't understood that, like, you know, the, what you say or how you behave right now may come off as if you don't care. And it's not that we're trying to, like, marginalize your feelings, but right now we have a huge population of folks who are truly kind of being left behind, and that's not fair. So I don't know. I do think what you're doing is right. And I think it takes a strong person to do that. So I applaud you and commend you, because I do think it's easier sometimes in those situations to kind of bite your tongue because you don't want to rock the boat. But right now the boat needs to be rocked. And hopefully what you are doing will maybe provide a wake-up call for them if they're in another conversation. And maybe that conversation does have people who are being directly affected by, you know, what's going on today.
I appreciate that, man. And, you know, it's just, man, I don't think something's bothered me like this for a while. And bothered is a relative term, right? Daddy, it's not like I'm losing, like, Daddy, I'm not upset. It's Daddy, just a different, it's interesting. Daddy. So, yeah, that's kind of my.
Yeah, and, you know, and I'll say one thing too, which I think is also kind of timely, is, you know, when you said about how even if they didn't get it, but them just hearing you out or acknowledging you and just, you know, again, connecting with you in that simple way. I mean, I know we've talked about in the past about how just being heard is so important. And, you know, even last night or two nights ago, my wife had kind of pointed out this video that she wanted me to watch about, again, just some, like, parenting things, and especially young kids, right? Not even adults, but, like, you know, those kids that are like toddlers or just, or maybe still, like, under 6, 7. And the lady who, you know, kind of has background in child psychology or child parenting. And she talks about how, you know, the worst thing you can do to a child when they complain about something is to tell them that their complaint is not a big deal and to not even address it. Right. And I'm so guilty of this, right? Like, my son might say, I'm tired. I don't want to, like, you know, do, like, piano practice, or I don't want to write right now. Or, you know, I'm not, and immediately I'll be like, what are you talking about? Like, come on, just do it. Or, like, you know, it's not a big deal. It'll only take 10 minutes. Or, and the, you know, what this lady is saying is, like, you have to acknowledge how they feel. You have to let them know that, yeah, like, sometimes, like, piano practice does, like, isn't fun, you know, or you don't feel up for it. And the kind of main theme she said is, like, if you don't feel right, you're not going to do right. And this goes to all of us, right? Like, if you don't feel, if you're not, like, you were kind of, you know, worked up last night, rightly so, and it didn't help you sleep, and then you woke up this morning, like, if you didn't feel right, there's no way the things that you want to do last night during the day is not going to be done to the best of your abilities, because you don't feel good. And just like kids, if they don't feel good, and then saying, hey, you know, you're hungry, now is the best time for me to like go outside and like have you start, you know, doing like capoeira practice with me, or, you know, you're tired, oh, now is the best time for you to like take a piece of paper and a pencil and start writing a story. Like, there's no way they're going to do well. They're going to suffer. They're going to complain. They're going to whine. And so the moral of the story is like, it's just reminding people, like, we have to acknowledge that person. We have to tell that person, like, oh yeah, like I do, I hear you. Like, you know, I know what it's like to be tired. Or even if you don't, like, I can see you're tired. I can see you're upset. I can see you're sad, you're hurt, that this is having a huge impact on you. You know, like, let's talk about that before you kind of push your agenda. And it feels like, you know, that kind of happened yesterday, right? Like, you know, and again, text messages are tough because to be that verbose may not always be the case. People might just, again, kind of assume, well, if I don't say anything, they'll just assume that, like, I understand and move on. But that didn't happen. So, you know, I think more than ever, we have to just, like you said, it's not about like being like politically correct and like, you know, walking on eggshells on everything you say. But I do think we need to over communicate now. I do think we need to be more transparent, and we do need to acknowledge people more than we ever have, because right now people aren't being heard. And there's a huge population of people who haven't been heard for a while. And because they haven't been heard, they've been, you know, like impacted more than anybody else. And that's something that isn't right. And we all need to kind of help them out. And hopefully through that, you know, other people who also feel like they are going through hardships, they'll also be heard, and they'll also kind of get their time to kind of work through their issues. But I don't know. I think what you said is just something that is fundamental from like the moment a child is, you know, communicating to adulthood. We all need to be heard. And if we're not acknowledged, like, that's why people are making, in my opinion, you know, not just protests, but like it's becoming more aggressive than before, because the protests aren't being heard.
Exactly. And, you know, the distinction, which is important, is you don't have to agree. You just need to know that you're heard. And even in this time, if you can't prove to anyone, like, people, I don't think people intentionally don't hear. People are just not cognizant enough sometimes to identify when someone is trying to be heard, which, to close the loop, you know, and kind of closing thoughts on this online, is when I said what I said, you know, maybe indirectly I was kind of fishing for, like, you know, some sympathy. I don't know. And it may look like that, but at the same time, it's like, if someone addresses something that is super, like, is so close to them and they're still trying to figure out and, you know, work through, that person should know that they're being heard. And that skill will help you in other things, especially in this whole movement about understanding how Black people feel. And even just being a better professional, just your whole life, right, in general. Like, it's just being able, like, here, the excuse of not being a mind reader is thrown out the window. You can't use that excuse here, right? Like, and I think it is sometimes like, hey, man, like, I didn't know. I'm not a mind reader. But you know what? You have to be right now. And not you have to be a mind reader, but you have to be extra cognizant of sensing the type of issues that people are going through. Like, you hear, like, you go on Instagram, you go on these social media channels, and you hear some of these Black people sharing their stories about the first time they got pulled over and how, you know, like, what happened. It's your duty, in my opinion, to just listen, to just hear them out. And you don't have to agree. It's just letting them know, I am hearing you out, right? Like, and, you know, this actually brings me back to one point, like, in college. I remember I was, like, feeling bad one day, and I was in the library, and this one guy, ironically a Black guy, who I studied engineering with, came up to me. He's like, hey, man, do you want to step outside? I want to hear you out. And I remember, I still today, like, remember verbatim that particular quote, and it was so powerful. And I went outside, and he just let me talk. And I was just like, man, that guy knows how to listen. So that's kind of closing thoughts on my end.
Yeah, I love that, man. And I heard something similar where it's like, you know, you just have to accept, you have to let that person know that you accept how they feel. It doesn't mean you, again, you agree with it or you approve it, right? Especially if it's like, you know, the child's trying to do something. But in even this situation, I think that's what we're forgetting. We're forgetting to just let that person know that, yeah, I hear you. I accept what you're saying. And if I can, you know, if I can feel your pain because I know what you're going through, you know, then I'll try. But again, I think for a lot of us, myself included, like I can't feel what, you know, a Black person is feeling because I don't go through what they go through. I was listening to a virtual town hall last night with the senator, the California senator, and he had pulled together a number of like African American leaders. And it was really fascinating to kind of hear them talk about this situation. And at one point, a couple of them had said, you know, people don't realize that like as a young Black man or a Black woman, you know, around my early teens, I had that talk. And, you know, I'm listening, trying to understand what are they talking about? And then it's like, you know, that talk that your dad gives you about, you know, what life is going to be like. And, you know, when people think about that talk as a teenager, you think about, you know, the birds and the bees. But these guys were talking about how like their dad would tell them or their mom would tell them, hey, like, you know, this is what can happen to you if you get arrested. And I've never had a talk like that. My mom and dad didn't tell me like, hey, if you get arrested, be prepared that you may get like killed or, you know, beaten. And you hear that and you realize I can't even relate. But just because I can't relate doesn't mean I can't be there for you. I can't listen to you. I can't hear you out and acknowledge. So I think that just, I mean, that's kind of the last thing that I'd say about this is going to continue. And until we can be there for our, you know, brothers and sisters, especially our Black brothers and sisters right now, you know, I think as a society, we'll always come back to this. We'll always come back to this. You know, we somehow kind of were able to ignore it, but it's going to blow up again. And I hope this time, I really do hope this time that we're able to come together and create a new social contract, a contract that we can all literally get behind and no one's left behind.
Totally. And just a quick last thought based on what you said, I think what kind of stings is imagine hearing what you did about what that Black person and had to go through in that conversation with their parents. And then you not necessarily showing that Black person when they share that story that you've heard, them telling you, hey, like I felt like I wasn't heard by you. And then that person not then following up and saying, oh man, I'm sorry, let me hear you out. And I feel like with, you know, the rest of the folks in this group, that's where it's at. And it's a little unfortunate, you know, because it's like, they have been put on notice, and I don't care how busy you are. I mean, you and I run a company. We are raising multiple kids, right? Like it's not hard to at least reach out in some way, whether it's in a group setting or individual, to say, hey, like, you know, I hear you.
Yeah.
No, but, you know, I'll provide an update next week, but you know, I'm glad that we were able to talk it out. I was really looking forward to kind of getting your opinion on this because I'm completely open to be told if I'm acting too sensitive. And, you know, you've seen even in our business dealings before, it's, you know, it's, I don't want to say it's a flaw, but it is an issue I have. You know, I get very heated. I sometimes get a little too emotional. And, you know, it's something that I know I need to work on. And that's why I just really wanted to dig in and see, man, like, am I being too sensitive here?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, what you are feeling and where you're coming from is understandable. And I think it's something that I hope, you know, you're able to have a few more of those final discussions to kind of come to some sort of closure. But I also, again, just because of what we said earlier, like, I don't know if they even get it. And I don't think it's because they're necessarily like have bad intentions. It's just, again, like if I've never experienced that, if I've never seen that, if I've never heard about it, it's as if like the lights aren't going on right now. And I don't know. I mean, I think this is going to be one of those situations where you may even have to kind of like, you know, be the bigger person and try to kind of paint it out for them. Now, if they're truly like, it sounds like in this situation, that's already been laid out for you. So I will be interested to see over the next, you know, week or two, how it plays out, because I do feel like this is not going to be the first. I mean, there's going to be many more of this in the next, you know, in the coming months, at least given what's going on.
Look, man, I appreciate it. And, you know, not to be cheesy, but like, thanks for hearing me out. I really appreciate that.
No problem. Well, listen, guys, you know, this is a really difficult time for a lot of people, especially with what's happened right now with George Floyd and all the other unfortunate situations, deaths, and just unfair treatment to Black people. So, you know, we are obviously going to try to, you know, do our best to talk about things that we think are relevant. And I think this was, you know, very timely, very relevant. And, you know, we'll share as much as we can through this podcast, the things that we're learning to help you guys, you know, in terms of your conversations, your dialogue, because right now, like, there's never been a more important time to open up your hearts and your mouths to have a better conversation. So we'll, I guess, talk next week. If there's anything else you want to add, Nimesh?
Nope, that's it.
All right, bye everyone.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments, as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.